Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 23. My text is from verse 1 down to verse 20, and I've entitled this simply, Cleaning House. The Lord raised up Josiah. He was but 8 years old. He began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. So much of what we're reading about now would have been as he matured, as he grew, as the Lord taught him. Much like our Lord Jesus Christ, who grew in wisdom and stature as a man. And Josiah, his name means God will save. So in many ways, Josiah is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. But in this salvation, what we're seeing here is that it involves an uprooting. I've mentioned to you already that Josiah would have been reigning during the time of Jeremiah. And when the Lord raised up Jeremiah, there had to be, first of all, an uprooting. If you go to Jeremiah chapter 1, I'd encourage you to read Jeremiah, even as I've just read Lamentations, to see what he went through there in this time of judgment that the Lord brought. You can see Jeremiah himself, the Lord raised him up. Verse 5, he said, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. This is like the Apostle Paul testified that he was set apart from his mother's womb and called by God's grace. It would have been during this period of Josiah. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations, because when Babylon was raised up in power and came down and took out Jerusalem, the temple, it wasn't just Jerusalem, the temple, it was the nations that were subdued. Remember, Jeremiah lived through this. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Many that have been raised up to declare the glories of Christ, even for myself, that is going to be your sentiment. How do you take these things pertaining to the glory of God and declare them? But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. That's a true prophet, not speculating or seeking to pacify, but to declare all that God has commanded. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. There's times when we stand to declare this word, you can't look at people's faces. Not to be influenced either by their smiles or their frowns. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. None can speak for God that he has not given his word. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out. This is the house cleaning. You can't go in and build on a false foundation. And to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, then to build and to plant. That was the message given to Jeremiah, and it parallels what we're seeing here in 2 Kings with Josiah. There was some tearing down to do. And that's what we're going to see here, this clean house. I think of today where people have this word, but it's been so perverted. Men will stand up and preach messages that glorify man, exalt man, but it's not the word of God. And yet they take this word and pervert it to their own ruin. So as the Lord directed Josiah and directed his heart, that's where it all begins, from the heart. It says here in verse 1, the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem, and the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets. Jeremiah have been one of those prophets? More than likely, he was a prophet during his time. Just as we saw these other prophets, Zephaniah and Obadiah, and all the people, both small and great. When the Lord is pleased to do a work, you can see represented here is prophet, priest, and king. You have the king, you have the priests, and you have the prophets. And great and small, all the people. That is all that these represented. And remember, this all began when someone brought to Josiah that book of the law, which was doubtless the book of Deuteronomy. As much of what we see going on here, when you go back and read Deuteronomy, it's exactly what the Lord said should happen. To rid the nation, to rid this city of idolatry. That's what he says. He read in their ears. This is the king himself now reading in the ears of the people all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. It goes back to chapter 22 and verse 8. We saw Hilkiah, the high priest, said unto Shaphan, the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. Whenever God is pleased to do a work, it begins in the heart, but it begins with his word and reading. That's why we read so much of this word. Go back and read it again. This is the word of the Lord. We see how it condemns us as sinners, but exalts the Lord Jesus Christ. And so verse 3 there, the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord. Walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in this book, and all the people stood to the covenant. There's a covenant of grace that God has established for his people, whereby Christ is the mediator. And here Josiah stands as that mediator. When it says he made a covenant, there literally, the word in the Hebrew means to cut a covenant. And the reason that word is used is because it goes back to the practice of killing an animal, slaying a sacrifice, and cutting up the carcass and separating out the parts. And then those with whom the covenant was made would actually walk in between the parts of this sacrifice. So clearly here was not without blood. Talk about reconciliation with God and cleaning house. It begins with that work of the Lord Jesus Christ depicted here in God's covenant made with his people, whereby they're passing in between, walking in between, is a type and a picture of agreement with that covenant. That's what in verse 3 it says, made a covenant before that to walk after the Lord. It was in this context then that the people stood and waited to hear a word from the Lord. And then you can see in verse 4 there, all the way down to verse 14, just to what extent this solemn covenant, beginning with the king and the priests and the prophets and the people all together before the Lord, to what extent now this would affect the people. It says in verse 4, the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest and the priests of the second order, that is the Levites. There's a high priest that was Aaron of the lineage of Aaron, and then the second order, these served the high priest and the keepers of the door to bring forth, and here's the amazing thing, to what degree idolatry had been rampant in the Lord's house. I think of here when our Lord took that rope there in Matthew 21 and went in and cast out the money changers. And they were astonished. By what authority you do this? Well, according to the word of the Lord. And here we have a picture of that where the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest. Everything is done through this high priest. These were the ones who were to be the keepers of that temple. wholly consecrated unto God is a picture of his son and his work. All those the temple furniture and the sacrifices, the priesthood, all that. So here's where the house cleaning begins, to rid this house of anything contrary. And I find the same today in preaching to God. We've got to go in, just like Jeremiah, uproot. We've got to rid this message from everything that man has contributed or sought to do and pervert it, that the clear gospel of Christ be declared in all of its purity and holiness. He said to go in and bring out of the temple of the Lord, look at this, all the vessels that were made for Baal. They were storing vessels made to Baal in this temple and for the grove and for all the host of heaven. In other words, they were worshiping, talk about the zodiac, they were worshiping the heavens, the stars. This is all manner of false worship that was intertwined in with this temple worship. You can't have it. God won't have it. He'll be honored through the pure declaration of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Anything man made or contributed must go, must be removed. And it says he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron. If you look up the fields of Kidron, this was an area near Jerusalem. In fact, Christ crossed the brook of Kidron, so this was not far removed from Jerusalem. In fact, it was between the valley of Kidron, it was between the Jerusalem and Mount of Olives. Christ would have prayed in the garden before he went to the cross. But he burned them without Jerusalem, outside the city, in the fields of Kidron, and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. And we read here, he put down the idolatrous priests. So it's not just the idolatrous items. Those things didn't just hop into the temple. They were brought in. And so he put down the idolatrous priests. We don't know exactly to what degree that means when it says he put them down, did he just remove them? Or was it like with Elijah there on Mount Carmel, where the Lord told Elijah to go down by the stream and to slay every one of those false priests? You say, well, how could God order that? He's a just God, a holy God. And that's a visible demonstration of just how God views idolatrous practices. This is the problem today. There's no fear of God. People like to talk about God's love and never understood anything about a holy God. God loves his righteousness. He loves his holiness. And so Josiah commands that these idolatrous priests be put down, whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the city of Judah. He's talking about his predecessors. This had gone on for some time, and now it was time for judgment. And even as the New Testament says, let it begin in the house of God. Let it begin in those that are the Lord's, being separated out from any idolatrous practice. We're surrounded by idolatry. In fact, in our hearts, we're idolatrous by nature. Were it not for God revealing Christ in us and drawing us to him. But in the places around about Jerusalem, them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun and to the moon and to the planets and to all the host of heaven. There's nothing new under the sun. We have the same thing today. All of these worshiping, even as Romans 1 says, the creature rather than the creator. He brought out of the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem under the brook Kidron and burned it at the brook Kidron. So again, this is a picture of removing the defiled idolatry and stamped it small to powder and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. This is a way of saying that this was nothing more than death. Taking this and just putting the powder on the graves of the children of people, those that had already died and gone before. You talk about perversion. This is a picture of false religion. He break down the houses of the Sodomites. These were homosexuals that were perverted persons. And he broke down their houses, that where by the house of the Lord, where the women were wove hangings for their grove. In other words, like we see today, these were women that when people came to worship, and the picture here is that of all kinds of prostitution and everything going on, but they made little trinkets, is what that is there. They wove these things to be hung, and by this people identified with their religion. That word translated hangings, that's what it likely refers to, the fabric that idol worshipers would hang up, little tents that they could hide behind. And there were rituals of obscenity. It's like in all of these false places of worship, it was perversion. And he brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense. A place to hide from Geba to Beersheba. This is, you look on the map, this is a great distance. That shows how much the land would overrun with false worship and break down the high places of the gates that were in the entering in of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were on a man's left hand at the gate of the city. It says, nevertheless, the priests of the high places came not up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they did eat of the unleavened bread among their brethren. These were ones that now began to withdraw themselves, and yet to continue to eat those things that pertain to Christ alone as if nothing was. It says here, he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom. Topheth is a place, location near Jerusalem. Some identify it as Ginnom, or the valley of Ginnom. And you can see what this was dedicated for. He defiled Topheth. In other words, he broke down everything pertaining to false worship. Here was where they would actually make their sons or their daughters to pass through the fire to Molech. All of this going on within earshot of the temple. See, how can this be? Well, it doesn't take much today to look around what's being done in the name of Christianity in these places of worship. And we can see it on live stream, some of these places of worship that are given over to false worship. And the children, maybe they're not burning them like was the case here, where they would take their children and burn them, and burn them alive. This valley of Hinnom, it's another way of pronouncing it here, children of Hinnom, was a place wholly dedicated to this type of brutality, where people would literally bring their children and go through these sacred rites of Molech being performed. And the burning, and you can imagine burning flesh, the stench was such that the fire never went out. That's why it's a picture of hell. It uses a picture of hell. Gehenna would be another name we find in the New Testament. to describe this. And that word Topheth there, he defiled Topheth, that was another name given to this place. The word Toph literally means a drum. And so these instruments were used to beat drums, literally, to drown out the cries of the children that were put into the burning arms of Moloch. It was a statue. Fire never went out. You say, how can people do that? Well, it's like false religion today. Parents dedicate their children, you know, as soon as they can, but to what? It's to condemnation because there's no knowledge of Christ, and yet parents gladly take their children to these places that they call worship centers, family worship center. Look at what goes on. People don't see it that way. And you would probably be very much despised if you were to tell these people that are bringing their children and offering them to their God, little G-O-D, but that's no different than confirming. There's different terms used. There's dedicate your children, and there's confirmation. All of that's confirmation unto death. No different. So Josiah continues. He begins in Jerusalem and goes out to all the other areas around it. It's a picture of the gospel work. The Lord said to the disciples, go back and wait in Jerusalem, and then there go to Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. There's a house cleaning. In other words, God's being pleased to do a work, turn people away from their idolatrous practices. Because you can't mix. There's no mixture. But man's worship and then the true worship of God in Christ. But here in verses 15 down to verse 20, which is where we'll stop, moreover, the altar that was at Bethel. The high place which Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, had made. What was at Bethel? Remember when Jeroboam, that was Solomon's servant, led the 10 tribes away into idolatry, he established the worship of the golden calf at Bethel. That had been a place where God had, at one point, encountered Jacob. It means the house of God. There again was the perversion. Like people today love to talk about their places of worship being the house of God, but it's nothing but idolatry. You won't hear of Christ being preached there. In fact, you might as well leave your Bible at home if you ever walk in. When I drive by some of these places, I look to see how many people even are carrying a Bible. I don't even know what it's about. They take the priest's word for it or the preacher's word for it. So Josiah goes back here where this false worship had been established for hundreds of years, all the way back to Jeroboam. Both that altar and the high place, he broke down and burned the high place and stamped it small to powder and burned the grove. How thorough must be the denouncing of anything that is not to the glory of Christ. And as Josiah turned himself, he spied the sepulchers. You can just see Josiah looking around. Where else? Our Lord, when he was on the earth, had nothing good to say about the religion of his day. In fact, you can read Matthew 23. Everything was woe, woe, woe. He likened them to open sepulchres full of dead men's bones. Whitewashed on the exterior, but inside, nothing but death. That's what he spied the sepulchres that were there in the mount and sent and took the bones out of the sepulchres and burned them upon that altar, along with all that it represented, and polluted it, according to the word of the Lord, which the man God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. This is interesting, that Josiah was not acting just on the spur of the moment. Everything he was doing had already been prophesied. It's like everything our Lord did. He never did anything on a whim, but according to what had been prophesied of him. If you go back to 1 Kings chapter 13 and verse 2, there's a nameless prophet. Even before Josiah was even alive, that made this declaration back there in 1 Kings 13. And this was all the way back in the days of Jeroboam, the one that had led them into worship of the golden calf. Behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. He was a prophet, priest, and king, all agree. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense, and he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, this is the man of God. We don't even know his name. O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David. What? Josiah by name. See how everything's ordained of God? Even the naming of Josiah, which means God will save. Upon thee shall be offered the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee. That's why when I read there a little while ago that he brought the priests down, it wasn't that he just stepped them down, but they were actually executed and offered on their very altars where they were offering up their false worship. He offered the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee. And men's bones shall be burned upon thee. That's what he was doing, going back into the sepulchres, not even sparing the bones. How thorough is God's wrath? And that's what we read here. Verse 17, then he said, what title is that that I see? And the men of the city told him, it is the sepulcher of the man of God, which came from Judah and proclaimed these things that thou hast done against the altar of Bethel. That's what we just read. And he said, let him alone. I'm not going to burn those bones. Let him lie. Let no man move his bones. So they let his bones alone, and the bones of the prophet that came out of Samaria. And all the houses also of the high places that were in the cities of Samaria, which the kings of Israel had made to provoke the Lord to anger. That's what provokes God to anger. He'll have no rivals. That's what false worship is. It's setting up other gods, whether physical or in the heart and mind. Josiah took away and did to them according to all the acts that he had done in Bethel. And you can read more information over in 2 Chronicles 34, 6, which is a parallel passage to this. And here it is. He didn't just step these men down. He slew all the priests of the high places that were there upon the altars and burned men's bones upon them and returned to Jerusalem. Such is the wrath of God. This is a God that this world doesn't know. Love, love, love. That's all you hear about. God is love. Never heard of flee. They've not read about the God of Scripture and how holy and just is he. Again, I say, if you want to know just how holy he is, look what he did to his son. He offered up his son as a burnt offering, a sacrifice, that his holiness might be satisfied, and those for whom Christ paid the debt should be justified. Oh, how that should cause us to solemnly look to the Lord and thank him. Such would be our end, is what we're reading here. All right.